Hello and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. How's it going?
Oh, fine.
Anything good?
I will say this. I was just listening to our episode before we recorded, and I do have a couple of things and a correction to state. But I appreciate our caution. I am much more at ease now, but I am sort of worried about the real possibility of a coup d'etat. So there's that. But other than that, great.
Yeah. I have that tequila shot I was going to do last week that I never did. So I'm going to just take it right now.
Nice.
Cheers.
Nice.
Whew. All right. Yeah. So how's it going, ladies? Since we last talked, we got a new president officially. So that's pretty fucking great.
And a new vice president officially. And I will say, Colleen, when in our last episode, we were talking about the Senate and you were like, there's only one path to the Senate. It probably won't happen because it would require both of the Georgia Senate races to go to a runoff. And it still might not happen, but we just can say they're going to a runoff.
Yeah. Yes,
that
everybody.
Well within the realm of plausibility at this point.
Everybody bow down to Queen Stacey.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to just make a correction. I said that I had posted in 2016, America, I had no idea you were a racist. That was missing one word. What I actually posted was, America, I had no idea you were this racist. Mm. When I was listening back, I was like, what did I just say? Like, I'm not that of course I knew America was racist. I just didn't know they were this racist. So anyway, that's my corrections.
We had a lot going on. We had a lot going on last week. There were a lot of emotions. There were a lot of things that were, you know, but I feel like this is definitely our roar episode, our Katy Perry roar episode, which I will totally play, I don't know, at some point today, maybe in between segments.
I do also, I wonder, if because I'm not inside of any Republican circles, I just have to wonder, is this the part where all the Republicans are getting together and telling each other that they really need to try to understand Democrats and they should really take this up?
Oh, I had that on
reach out and talk to them.
Nope. I had that on my list of things to talk about, actually. Yes. Yes. Asking for a friend, aka you and me, where are the think pieces? Like, where are the Fox News, where are the Breitbart pieces that are like, let's try to understand the liberals. Where are the people that support Black Lives Matters coming from? Where are those? I haven't seen those yet. I mean, I know we're still, you know, trying to say this is an illegitimate election. It's not.
Like a
seems very not really a Breitbart's brand.
What, truth?
It's not really
but my part question of the thoughts. Anyone who is like in this alternate reality, like 4 million more votes and
counting
electoral votes and counting, like how much do we have to? Last time we won by 3 million votes and it still wasn't good enough. And whatever, the system is fucked up. Okay, but this time we got both.
So actually, not to well actually you. There's a good well actually. It's actually up to. The current statistics is it's probably going to probably hit 6 million because there's still 2 million votes uncounted in California.
Whoa.
You are welcome, rest of the country.
It is
my pleasure for our votes to...
His current margin, though, as the current margin is, I think, like 4.7 million, though, that he is winning by. And of course, that brings him up to 50.8% of the total popular vote, which officially beats Reagan's record in 1980 of 50.7% of the total popular vote and is on par with FDR in 1932's like votes.
Oh,
I think it was 32. Don't quote me on that. I'm stupid. But yes.
No, I saw the Reagan thing. I didn't see the FDR thing. That's really interesting.
So I believe it's anticipated at the end of the day, it could be 67% of the vote. Wow. Don't quote me on that because I saw that on Twitter. But if true, that is crazy. I mean, over 150 million people voted, which is a lot of people. That's right? A lot of people. 140 million people. A lot of people, though. A lot of people voted, which...
It's a good job, us, for, like, going out and actually voting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for some of us, you know, better job than others, but...
Right. And, you know, it is still... I am still upset about the Senate. Cal Cunningham conceded today in North Carolina, which, you know, just...
You see, that's what you do when you lose.
Yes, yeah. You concede when true. You lose. But you know something, you know, if we're going to challenge this as illegitimate and voter fraud, I say we relook at the Kentucky and Maine and South Carolina votes. I mean,
yep.
Why not?
If we're going to relook at one, let's be thorough.
Honestly, I want to keep this joyous, but I truly know the ranked choice voting and blah, 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 and there's technicalities, but I truly don't understand what happened with Susan Collins. Like, how did she win? Yeah. She hadn't had a single poll that had her even close since July. She was so unpopular, so I don't understand how that happened. The only thing I can think of is what we talked about after we hung up the podcast last week is, and I know there's been a million think pieces on this, that Republicans have been taught to not trust the system, to not trust the establishment, so maybe they just weren't the ones that they weren't taking polls, they weren't picking up their phones, they weren't, you know, they weren't answering, right. They were, mm-hmm. you know, maybe there was like some, I don't know, right-wing TikTok teens that were throwing it off, who knows, but like, I still don't understand, because like... I really thought Maine hated her. So I will never understand what happened there, but whatever. All hands on deck for Georgia. It's literally our last stand. Otherwise, God, me donating a lot of money for 2022 already.
Yep. Otherwise, it's going to be a slightly less, but still hard 4 years.
Yeah. So here's my dream scenario for 2022. Just a scenario is Donald Trump Jr. primaries Marco Rubio. He outs Rubio, gets the nomination, but then he fucking loses and a Democrat wins. That'd be like the ultimate Florida situation.
That would be great, but it would be stressful while it was happening because I don't want to see. And that's the thing is those motherfuckers are going to insert themselves in every aspect of the Republican Party from mm-hmm. here until they die.
Well, so. Yeah, because A, adulation, B, they want to stay out of prison.
Yeah.
That motivation is real.
I mean, and see.
You've done that much crap and you owe that much money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you guys, something exciting in broadcast related land. Okay. You know that the very first day that we're going to wake up without Donald Trump as president is going to be 1-2-1-2-1.
Oh, I like that.
Because he'll still be president when we wake up on the 20th.
Mm.
It's a good sign.
Yep. Mm. Yes, it is.
I like it.
Yes, it is. We just need to get there. And I feel like these next 70 or whatever days are going to be very dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't worry too much. I think that he will leave. I think the danger, it won't be them kicking him out of the White House situation. I think the danger is going to be he will continue to rally up the base. Which, you know, is already on Facebook screaming about how there's something fishy going on, how Democrats stole the election. I don't know if you listened to The Daily yesterday, maybe it was, Amanda. They interviewed...
No, I've been away, so I haven't been listening to any podcasts.
Okay, well, they interviewed people who, you know, were Trump voters and Biden voters. And at first I was like, I'm going to have to turn this off because I don't need to hear another fucking think piece about why somebody voted for a racist. Guess what? You're racist. Mm-hmm. Sorry. But like, it wasn't really about why they voted for him. It was, will you accept the outcome of the election? And there were a lot of people that were interviewed that were like, yeah, we'll accept the outcome of the election if they can prove that it wasn't, you know, voter fraud. If they could prove that it's not, then he'll be our president. We're not like the liberals who said that Trump wasn't their president for all these years. So I think that's going to be the issue. And you have Mitch McConnell out there that's screaming about how
I know that fucking bastard.
He can. Mm-hmm. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, did you hear the whole thing that Mike Pompeo said?
Pompeo, yeah.
Today? Oh, my God.
It's just, like, terrifying. If you really think about what he said about, like, a smooth transition to a second Trump,
yep.
whatever, words.
Right. And you know the thing is? They're all playing to a party of one. Every single person in that fucking White House knows that he lost and that it's over. They are playing to a party of one.
Like, but they are his base.
Exactly.
One and his base.
It's honestly, at this point, it's the base that I am more afraid of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I saw something on the evening news tonight about like some kook in New Jersey that was like planning to like blow up the FBI building overall.
Yep. In Staten Island? Or he was from Staten Island. Same
difference. I was going to say, it doesn't matter. It's all the same. All we needed to know was Staten Island. Island
makes more sense. But, I mean, facts. Yes. Okay, fine. So someone in some kook in Staten Island was going to blow up the FBI building or like something like that. Well, there was they were found out and like they were captured and, you know, put in police custody before the plan, he could execute his plan. But it's like, it's stuff like that terrifies me. So yes. It's like, yes, you can play like you're, you know, trying to get dad's attention and like, love me. I love you the most. I love you the most. But it has real life ramifications that could be potentially very dangerous.
And it was
with McConnell and like, yeah, so his motivation is what, like Georgia? Getting the base riled up.
They need to get the base fired up from Georgia.
Like, what is Mitch McConnell's motivation? Like, he has...
He needs to keep his power
than Trump does. It's like, I just don't understand why they are still all falling in line.
That's it. Is he knows?
I can see that like twisted logic in his turtle brain. It's despicable, but I can sort of.
Well, while she's out there, it's Loeffler and Perdue are also doing the same thing, is they all are afraid of another 2018 situation where the Democrats are riled up and they come out and there's no Trump on the ticket. So why would the base come out? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, they're all playing like, you know, a Trump authoritarian cosplay where they're, you know, sitting there and trying to.
Yep.
Shani just said her internet is sucking. We know. She'll be back.
She'll be back because I'm sure it was a very good point. I wanted to hear the end of it.
Yes, we'll catch her up. Hello. While you were gone, While you were gone, I was filling in the blanks that Mitch and Pompeo and Loeffler and Perdue in Georgia, who have a, you know, they're all yelling at the Secretary of State, and it's just to rile up the base because they're afraid that it's going to be like 2018 again, the midterms, where the Democrats were all, you know, gung-ho about getting out there and the Republicans didn't have a Trump on the ticket, so they weren't as, you know, enthusiastic about it, and they're exactly it, because Mitch McConnell knows that man is 79 years old, and I don't know if you've seen his hands, that he is not healthy, so he knows that this is probably his last 6 years in power, and he doesn't want to give him up. And I think that's why it's not like he hasn't been willing to undermine, you know, any of American democracy in the past. What's one more time?
He just wants to take everyone down with him.
Mm-hmm. What were you saying though, Shani?
But Pompeo, like, what is his motivation?
Exactly.
Power. It's power. It's the base. Didn't Mike Pompeo want to run for like Senate in Kansas or something? At some point,
was he a congressperson before?
A congressperson. Yeah, didn't he want to like run for Senate or something? Like, didn't he want to get back into?
That sounds 100% logical to me.
But anyway, Shani, what were you saying when you got kicked off?
Oh, just that. I mean, Mitch McConnell is a terrible human being, and that is really despicable what he's doing. But like, you can look at it and see sort of like what his motivation is. But understanding it, like understanding why he's doing what he's doing, like understanding the motivations behind his evil plan doesn't make them any less evil. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sort of like, I keep waiting for like the rest of the Republicans to come out and be like, okay, yeah, like Mitt Romney. Yeah. Well, we all knew that if anyone was going to come out and, you know, be like pro-democracy, it would probably be Mitt Romney. He's done it before. He's like one of the only ones that's not afraid to sometimes stand up to Trump. But like everyone else, like, we're waiting. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yeah. And who knows,
by
Friday?
Do you care about the country or like.
Mm-hmm. And who knows, by Friday, maybe more people would have spoken out. Because I think as of right now, there's only been like 4 or 5 people from Congress who have acknowledged it and a couple of like. Republican governors who have acknowledged it.
Meanwhile, literally the rest of the world
has
the victory to the point that they were ringing church bells. My friend in Berlin messaged
Love
me
that.
Was like, they are ringing the bells here in Berlin. Same thing in Paris. Fireworks in London. Like the rest of the world is celebrating as if we had just taken down a dictator, because frankly, that's what it
we
felt
did.
Like. Mm-hmm. And there's this thing that's been going on Facebook,
which is arguably worse.
Yeah. Yes. We stepped away from it just in time, but there's still 70 some million people who are on board for that. But so far, so good. Knock on wood. Except for the possible coup d'etat that's coming, but whatever. We'll find out. Hopefully.
I don't think there's going to be. I don't think there's going to be a coup d'etat. I don't think there's the lawsuits are going to. There was already somewhat promising results from the questioning with the Affordable Care Act today.
I saw that.
Where it seems that.
I never expected to see that headline today when I opened my news.
Yes. So essentially, I'm sure by Friday, anybody listening to this probably saw this, but it apparently. Justice Beer, Chief Justice Roberts, and the hot dog lady all had pretty hard questions that made it seem like they were, you know, not okay with the latest attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act. So that's promising. I mean, you never know what they're going to come back with after they discuss it and, you know, whatever the decision is. But it does seem promising that perhaps, Perhaps there's hope for people out there who genuinely need it. And let's hope that, Biden holds to his, works with the progressives and has an actual, plan for expanding health care that's affordable for everyone.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully we have a Senate that would take it up and pass it.
Yeah, well, that too.
That is going to be the linchpin in the whole thing.
I am so nervous about I know it's a very long shot. I know that it's, it's probably more likely that they might split it, but or lose both. I don't know. There's plenty of ways to volunteer. Check out Fair Fight's website. Stacey Abrams has a list of ways that you can volunteer to do things. Through it, whether it's knocking on doors or if you live far away, writing postcards or calling viewers. There's a massive get out the vote stuff. There's different options based on who you are. She actually even has a site on the website, like on how you can help section, if you're an influencer or a celebrity, and it has different scripts of things that they can say and like post on there. Yeah, I know.
She is the best.
She is the best. I was so enthralled by it the other night when I was going through it.
She is so smart.
Yeah. So, but definitely nice. Check that out, because that is going to be a fight for any kind of progress happening over the next 2 years before the midterm. So I feel like we have a chance, and I feel like we have a better chance now than we may have done even like a year ago. So,
As terrified as I am, there is still a part of me that is very giddy and hopeful and excited.
Yes. So let's.
And it's weird to have those two things living in the same space, but it's a lot better than just straight up 100% dread. So that's an improvement.
Mm-hmm. And I guess let's talk about the happy things, the joyful things. We'll talk about the foreign stuff in a second, Shandy, if it's okay. I want to talk about the celebrations that went on throughout the United States this weekend. And I mean, Amanda, why don't you start? So how did you guys find out that Biden won?
Well, it was kind of a combo of things. So Daniel and I went to Pennsylvania this weekend to meet up with his family. And we were getting ready to leave on Saturday. Daniel was coming back from picking up the car. And like, I feel like I could maybe hear some commotion outside, but this might be like revisionist history on my part. And I'm like putting on earrings, and he comes in and he's like, they called it. And I was like, what? And then I could like hear, definitely hear people cheering, and I couldn't figure out where they were. It almost started to sound like the 7 o'clock cheer from like back in, in the beginning of quarantine. So I thought it was in the hallway. So I stuck my head out to like join the cheering in the hallway. I'm like, nope, no one's in the hallway. So I realized it was just people in their apartments cheering. So then I went to our windows, and I could hear people outside cheering and like banging. Some people were like banging pots. Someone was playing the Fuck Donald Trump song.
Yes.
Someone was like put the TV on and was like, blasting the news coverage. It was pretty cool. And then when we were leaving, like you could hear like car horns. And so as we were leaving to hit the road, and we're sort of driving through because we live right by the sort of main drag in our neighborhood. And there was, it was just like a block party. There were just people on the sidewalks, like kind of in the street. Apparently after we had left, someone had like gotten out of their car and was like standing on the hood of their car with like an American flag waving it around. Yeah, I kind of wish that we didn't have somewhere to go that wasn't New York City because it would have been great to like stay and party a little bit. But it was still, it was really cool. Like just driving through neighborhoods that we wouldn't normally on the way out and sort of seeing these different pockets of celebration. I was so caught up. I realized halfway to Pennsylvania that I had only put earrings in one side of my head. I only had earrings in the left ear and I had started on the right, but didn't finish.
I love that.
It's perfect.
Did you quickly move it to the left side, though?
I kind of adjusted, and then I was like, oh, whatever. It's,
you got it. Okay.
It's a pandemic. I don't need to have earrings in all of my ears. What am I thinking?
Oh my god! Yeah, that's awesome. There's so many videos from Brooklyn, from New York City, from all around. There were just threads on Twitter of people just posting, like, responding to the thread for like their neighborhood or people that were reporting from like wherever they were. And it was just, it made me so happy. I watched them up until last night. So for all day Sunday, it was instead of doom scrolling, I joy scrolled for 3 days.
How good did that feel?
It felt amazing. Like I know that there's a long way to go. I know 70 million people, I know the reality, but like the reality was the people were so joyous and it was just so great. Like could not stop watching for all day Saturday, all day Sunday, all day yesterday. Just even last night, I keep retweeting these threads of just, I love the one. There's a, I think it was maybe Atlanta or maybe Atlanta, Philadelphia. I don't know where it was, but like they're at a gas station and they're singing Since You've Been Gone. They're singing All I Want for Christmas Is You. And it is the best. The All I Want for Christmas Is You one is the best. I mean, there are people on top of cars. And you could tell that this party went on for hours because it's like the videos from its start in the daylight and then all of a sudden it's nighttime. Some of the Philly ones were amazing, like the mascot. There was one where this person was dressed up as a unicorn, a rainbow unicorn, and just had like a sign that said "fuck Donald Trump" or "fuck you Trump" or something, and it was just dancing. I mean, it was just beautiful, and like people in DC like climbing on top of traffic lights and like giving, like throwing beer to the crowd, and like there was a, I think it was like Spike Lee or somebody was like in Brooklyn was shaking champagne, like expensive champagne, and spraying it at the crowd, and it was awesome. Like there was I'm so happy. I feel so much joy in my heart recapping it right now because it was it was really nice to see after 4 years of this reign of terror. And you know what? Maybe my life wasn't directly affected, but like so many people, have been just traumatized by this. Mm-hmm. And it was great. It was really nice, and like you said, Shandy, it felt like the whole world was celebrating along with everyone in America, like ding dong, the witch is dead, and everybody was coming out. It was like the end of Return of the Jedi, like the galaxy-wide celebration. I'm so happy talking about it. It just made me so happy.
Yeah. And just that word that you said, like that. So one of my brothers lives in Philadelphia and we were texting and he was like, with his family, like they went down to the Liberty Bell. He's like, yeah, I'm going to go see some history. And when he was texting from down there, he said exactly that. Like everyone is just so joyful. And it just really strikes me because that's not a reaction. Even like when Trump won, I think his supporters were really happy that he won, but it wasn't joy.
No, because they're like, angry.
It's always this mix of like anger and resentment and just like these really negative emotions in contrast to this, where everyone was just so joyful. And that's just it. Like, anyone who's listening, who's still like voting Republican, which is I'm sure nobody who listens to this podcast, but like, you can come over to the joyful side. Like you can have fun with us. Like we're cool. We're like sex positive, joyful, like Democrats and like liberals, like that's where it's at. We have more fun. But so he was down there at the Liberty Bell, like with all these joyful celebrations. And then I have another brother who lives in Wilmington, Delaware. And so they were like, okay, we're going to try to go to the speech on Saturday. And so they ended up going. And so they were, you know, it was like a drive up. I'm sure everyone saw it. And so people like were there with their cars, and the newspapers were coming around and taking pictures. And my brother was texting us like, oh, the news is here taking pictures of the kids. Cause they had like their kids and like some other kids were like on top of the hood of the car, and they made the front page of CNN Politics.
I love that.
Yeah. So frame that. But again, yeah, just like so, so joyful. So happy. Everyone was just, yeah, so great. We actually, though, it was funny because we had been just the whole week was so long and so stressful. I feel like we lived like a month in 5 days.
Yes. And have you seen the thing that's going around that was like January, February, March, 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 September, October, November 1st, November 2nd, November 3rd, November 3rd, November 3rd, November 3rd, November 7th.
I did not say that, but that is 100% accurate.
It was so like physically and emotionally stressful. And so, you know, anyway, like between Frank and I, like we were checking all the time, like, and, you know, I would go to bed earlier than him. He would stay up and watch because that's just kind of our usual anyway. But we kind of had our bases covered. And then I would get up at like 6 and like start watching. I mean, I totally regressed like all of the things that I don't usually do. I was doing last week, like going to bed with my phone in the room, watching TV when I got up at 6 a.m. Like, who does that? Well, on election week, apparently I do. And it's fine. But it was exhausting. And then we get to Friday night. And same thing, like we stay up for a while, and I stayed up later than I usually do because it was Friday and I wanted to know, and they still hadn't called anything. So I finally go to bed. Ronk woke up at like 5 o'clock, checked his phone. They still didn't call anything.
Yeah.
He was like, he told me, he was like, should I just stay up? But then to himself, he was like, no, it's 5 o'clock. It's too early. Like, no, I can't just stay up at 5 o'clock. I woke up at like 7, which is kind of late for me, but I was like tired from the week, and I looked again and they still hadn't checked. They still hadn't called it.
Yeah.
So at that point I was like, well, screw this. I'm staying in bed a little bit longer. I woke up at like 8:40. I checked my phone. Colleen, you had texted us at 8:27.
8:26 is when I saw it. That's about the time they called it.
Yep. Oh, that's true. I left that part out of my story. It was like, I checked my phone to confirm what Daniel was saying. I saw all your texts and I'm like, well, Colleen's saying it too. So it must be real. True.
But we missed the official call by like maybe like 15 minutes. Cause I saw your message. I like went to Frank like, hey, hey, they called it. He was like sleeping super hard. And then, I woke up and then it was like downstairs TV. And we're like, shit, we missed the official call by like 15 minutes. It would have been really something to see that. But at the same time, it doesn't change the outcome. So
yeah. So what happened with me was Jay and the boys were outside playing and I was inside cleaning up, you know, changing out the clothes for the season. So I had a bunch of stuff like chores, indoor chores. And I had MSNBC on my laptop and CNN on the actual TV. And I was really, because honestly, like Steve Kornacki and John King, like,
oh my God,
they did a great job.
And so
they did
TikTok,
a great
apparently.
Job. Yes, they did a call.
Yeah, I didn't even know who this guy was. I mean, I'm still not certain I know who this guy is.
Which one? Steve Kornacki or
MSNBC or like not for us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I love them both. But I have to say, John King, like I was impersonating him the entire week.
He talks so fast.
But we just don't know. We just have to keep counting. And this is how it works. And it's okay. And just don't panic. And we just keep voting. No, we just keep counting.
So,
and we just have to keep counting. He was great.
So he was great, but he was so intense at points. And like Steve Kornacki is just hilarious.
Also great.
Like
Kornacki cam forever.
I know Kornacki cam forever. Like at one point, like he had, did you see, I think it was, I don't remember if it was like Joe or Mika or somebody, but like, or maybe it was just, maybe it was Brian Williams. And he's like flagging them down to like come over to him. And this was at one, like one update at some point during the week that all blends together, but he has a piece of paper in his mouth. And Brian Williams is like, hold on, I need to cut you off. I'm really sorry, but we need to go over to Steve, who is waving us over with a piece of paper in his mouth. It's like, he's got a calculator out and the paper in his mouth, and he's got sticky notes all over this paper because he had just gotten off the phone with somebody else who was giving him updates. And it was so funny, and like by the end it was really good. They were the real MVPs
of this election.
They were.
I have to say, election week as a concept was incredibly stressful, but by the end it is kind of like, I think this is an experience for multiple reasons that has marked us all for life that we will look back on and remember. But I will say one of the happier reasons I think that it has marked us is because after all this stress, like you can look back and like remember, you know, the day that you woke up and like Wisconsin, you know, had turned blue, and like Friday morning when finally things were turning, like Georgia,
Pennsylvania,
was turning blue.
Yeah.
And just to have followed these people on TV the whole week, the Steve Kornackis of the world, like it was, in retrospect, it was fun now that we know that we had a good outcome.
Yes. Right. And we all went through it together, which was even better.
And,
and it's like, and even you saying that, I almost feel like this was less stressful than 2016, where it was all consolidated into one night and you felt like you couldn't go to sleep.
Right.
And then you felt like you had to go to sleep because you were just so depressed that like you just couldn't be awake anymore. Like, at least this was sort of, while stressful, I felt like there was room to sleep and take naps and exercise self-care. I think ultimately,
oh my God,
I might have liked the longer election week.
No, I needed it to be done.
It felt a little less dizzying.
But I think it really does depend on the outcome. But I will say, like, because I would leave, like, I always go on a walk during lunch. And so I would get ready to go on my lunchtime walk, and Frank would be like, I really need to go run, but like, I can't leave.
I know. I had the same thing.
See, I didn't have that problem. I was like, well, they're not going to call it yet. So, you know what? I'm going to go do the thing. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to keep the news off during the day because
you knew that Shandy and I were going to bombard you with 75 texts as soon as it happened.
Right. But like, it was just like, I didn't feel the need to flog myself, you know? I'm like, get it in the morning, get it in the evening.
I was so joyful,
but I couldn't stop myself.
I know,
because for the walks, but and that's where like you can tell, or I could tell anyway, how important it was to do those kinds of things, because I would walk and I would like not check even my text messages while I was on my walk, and it would feel really nice, and then I'd come back and see how things were. And one day I actually had to go into work for a few hours in the afternoon, and like I was at work and I was talking to people and figuring out some logistics and like all this stuff. So I couldn't, like, I couldn't check my phone. Like I was just, you know, fully engaged, like at work, in work. And then when I finally got home, it was like, oh wow, I didn't think about the election for a good solid couple of hours. Like that was actually really good.
Yeah. That's healthy. That's good.
Yeah. So it was the only time that I didn't think about it, you know?
But I did want to, I wanted to say this before and I couldn't find it, but talking about the joyfulness in the streets, this is from Ron Brownstein's Twitter, and he said, these images everywhere, unprecedented for a presidential call in my experience, look like what you'd see in a country that has overthrown a dictator or won a war, which in blue America may be exactly what it feels like, given that Trump has treated them as a foreign adversary.
Oh my God, so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I think the thing that strikes me is just how organic it was.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't this forced thing. It was just people's genuine expression of joy. And it was like the inability to contain one's excitement, and that we all collectively felt that way. Like it just really was kind of magical. And I think that's a really important part of the puzzle, that it wasn't any kind of, it wasn't vindictive or calculating or for the press of it. It was just a collective exhale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ding Dong, the Lurch is dead.
Tweeted, welcome back, America.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and yes, a lot of Trump's little dictator friends also turned on him. Justin Trudeau has, I think, like released two different statements about how he congratulated Biden a first time and a second time.
I'm very Canadian.
Well, he does always tweet like in English and then in French, or vice versa.
And then in French.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you speak French, but like this is the thing.
Yeah, and apparently
his sisters certainly didn't. So
yeah. Yeah, and you know, it is embarrassing for Trump. Like, I don't think it's embarrassing for America at this point. Trump's temper tantrum that he won't like concede. Mm-hmm. I think right now the whole rest of the world isn't like, oh, poor America. They've got this dude that won't leave office. They're like, oh, poor Donald. Like, he won't leave. He doesn't know that he lost.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, did you?
I saw somewhere online somebody was saying that he's getting the full 2020 experience because he got COVID.
Got evicted.
He lost his job.
He's
going to get evicted.
I also like the one that you sent us that I feel like I saw at some point. I don't know. So we had a bottle of champagne and then I promptly fell asleep for an hour because you guys know I can't do champagne.
It's a special occasion kind of drink.
It was great. it was while Alex was napping, though. But I love the thing. It was try to live your life so that the entire world doesn't dance on the rooftops when you lose your job.
For real. And this is where it's so, like, I mean, I know that, like, the average Trump voter maybe doesn't follow, like, world affairs and maybe feels very isolationist.
So well, I think they that they just care, get it through, like, the lens.
How can you not, when the entire world kind of calls your bluff, like, how can that not mean anything?
Honestly, the average Trump person's view of foreign politics is Obama had a lot of drone strikes. Obama did bad in Syria. Both things which are arguably true.
Totally.
Both things that are bad. And then it's America pays for the rest of the world and we don't want to be their welfare anymore, so they need to pay their fair share. That's literally the extent of, like, the conservative understanding.
This is where it really helps to get out of your country for a little while and like see something else and like maybe learn a foreign language so that you can learn a different perspective, and you might be surprised.
Yeah.
Because we are very much taught a very America-centric viewpoint. And, like, for certain things, it's maybe a little bit true, but for other things, it's really actually not at all. And the rest of the world doesn't necessarily think the way that we think that they think.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It's like in France, they don't think about themselves the way that we think about ourselves in the US.
Really? How so?
I think generally speaking, I mean, for one thing, they don't think that they're the best country in the entire world. There's not really that rhetoric, although there can be obviously pride for France, but there's not that rhetoric. And I think it's much more seen as like part of the rest of the world,
like part of
your one country, your one country in a world full of different countries.
Yeah.
And again, they have their problems too. Like it's just the example I go to because it's the only place that I've ever lived before, but it's just, it's interesting because it is very different.
Yes.
And
so let's talk about some of the happy things. I mean, we've been talking about happy things. Did you guys see the couple that got married in D.C.? And then they, once they heard the election was called, they came running down Black Lives Matter Plaza and started just, you know, dancing and like cheering with everybody.
No.
And she's in her wedding dress. He's in his tux. His mask is like hanging down around like a Santa Claus beard, like down. Like you can tell they're like,
back up. You just got married. Protect yourself. It's still a pandemic.
Well, you could tell that they had literally like just like done their IDs or whatever and like ran out. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they had finished their pictures, but like it's just, and her dress is beautiful. If random chance out there that you random bride in the middle of Black Lives Matter Plaza is listening to this, I love your dress. It is gorgeous and your boobs look great. Great. So I just want to get that out there.
What a wonderful wedding day. I thought about that. Like there were a couple of people who had a birthday that day, and as I was wishing them happy birthday
and Jason and Tammy.
I was like, oh well, you already got a great present already. So happy birthday.
So my boss turned 47 on the 6th, and that morning, you know, I was like, happy birthday. She goes, oh my God, all I want for my 47th is number 46.
Nicely done.
So good.
Yeah. But, okay, so yes, there were a lot of really great things, and there's a lot of people I think that need to get acknowledged. For instance, in Arizona, the Navajo Nation really came out for Biden.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they voted 90. So statistics vary depending on where you're getting your information from. But the general gist that I have seen is that they came out somewhere between 87% and 97% for Biden. There were, there were 70, almost 74,000 or 73,000 Navajos or indigenous people who came out to vote for Biden in Arizona, and his lead is, you know, 20,000 at the time, as of, you know, whatever. So like that right there covers your deficit, right? So awesome.
Yeah. Well, they're a community that's been hit really hard by COVID, and they were still able to recognize what they needed to do and come out, and it was that important. And I mean, not to talk about them like as like, you know,
as a monolith or as a whatever, monolith, yeah.
Because no group of people is, but.
But, I mean, like, they came through, much like.
They came through. Yeah, they came through. Yeah. They recognized the importance of the moment and they rose to it. And yes. I heartily thank them.
Yes. And
when you see the overlap, like those, the maps with like the one with like Redland and the other with like where the blue boats were, and it's like an exact match. And you're like,
exact match.
Yep. And which, you know, franchising voters, a great thing. In Philadelphia, in Atlanta, or rather in Georgia, it looks like Black youths really carried everything. Black women, of course.
We owe them a huge debt of gratitude.
And here's the thing.
They show up for us and save us from ourselves time and time again.
Exactly. And I think it was John Oliver. It's not so much like black women are voting and indigenous people are voting to save us. It's because they want to save themselves. And now we owe it to them to actually provide help to the communities that need them. Like,
yep.
Yep. So let's go do that, which is why the Senate race is so important in Georgia. And yes.
Great points.
So just something to keep in mind. Other awesome things from the election. There was a woman who was running in Ohio, Hamilton County, for the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office, Charmaine McGuffey. Essentially, she was fired by the former sheriff for being a lesbian, and she decided to run against him, and she won.
Ugh, I love that.
Love that.
Payback's a bitch.
Payback's a bitch.
Sometimes it's a lesbian. Probably. That was probably a really bad joke.
That's okay. Everybody got it. Don't worry.
Yep. We specialize in bad jokes here. Very on brand for us.
Yes. Love this. So you go, Sheriff McGuffey.
Awesome.
Let's see what else. Feel free to chime in. I've just literally opened every link we have in the outline. I'm just going through the tabs.
So I wanted to touch on that vote in Colorado.
Yes.
Because I can't remember if I mentioned it last time or not, but I was like, as I was sort of doom scrolling and waiting for, you know, NPR to refresh last week, at one point I started going through state by state and was like looking at like all the different propositions in different states. And the California one caught my eye about a popular vote pact. And I was looking into it more afterwards. I did not realize this, but there is a popular vote pact that already exists so Colorado had already adopted, but then it was challenged. And so they were voting this time whether or not they would actually stay in, and they did. So that's good. And what this pact says, it's like an interstate pact.
Yep.
And if enough states
to
represent 270 electoral college votes sign on to it, then all of those states have this pact instead of giving their electoral college votes to whoever wins in the state, to give it to the winner of the popular vote. And that gave me so much hope. And there's so with Colorado, they're up to like 198 votes. California's already in, because I was like, are we in? We have, like, they're not missing too many. Like, California could provide those. We're already in. But
I believe the issue with this is that it's similar to needing the, you know, 2/3 of the states to ratify a new amendment of the Constitution. The unfortunate thing is I don't know if they have enough states that are quite ready to get there. Does that is similar to I haven't read about it in probably a good year, but like, is that what you similar to what you literature you read, Shani?
Yeah, well, I didn't even know that it existed, honestly. So I was just totally overjoyed to find out that this is that people are actively doing things to fix
so the they're vote saying of the there's college. A chance.
Of course, just getting rid of it would be the best thing, and just to have one person, one vote. But because getting rid of it will be super complicated and difficult, this is a way around it. And it would still give the election to the person who won the most votes in the popular vote, which is how it should be. So I don't know. I was just very happy to see that it even existed. So I was waking up to this news at the 198 mark or whatever. And so we'll just keep counting, as John King would say. We'll just keep counting. We'll just keep taking ballots, and we'll just patience, and we'll just, you know, so more states just need to sign on, and maybe now we have already like the, you know,
the more God.
Democratic states that would be prone to like sign up for this.
Yeah.
And maybe getting those last 72 or whatever votes will be difficult, but at least it exists, because I didn't know that.
Right, right.
Oh my God, did you guys see the joke that was also going around the internet this weekend? It was like, conservatives have been hating on science all year. We'll wait until they realize that science's big older brother math is about to kick their ass.
I did see that.
That's so good.
That was really funny. More happy things. Does anybody want to talk about the... New Mexico was the first state to ever elect women, all women of color, to their House. Yeah. Yep. Tennessee elected Tori Harris and Eddie Manis. They Tori Harris is a Democrat, Eddie Manis is a Republican, but they were the first openly LGBTQ politicians to serve in the state general assembly in Tennessee, which is awesome. That is awesome because, you know, maybe there's hope. Sarah McBride won the state Senate seat in Delaware, the first transgender state senator and the highest ranking openly transgender official in history.
That's awesome.
Oh, right. I forgot about that one.
And as I think we talked about them back during the primaries, but Mondaire Jones and Richie Torres from New York are the first openly gay black members of Congress, which is awesome.
That's great.
And if you haven't, you know, heard their interviews, they were all over the podcast and news media's like circuit back after the primaries. They're great. Maury Turner from Oklahoma. She uses she, they pronouns. She became the country's first non-binary state legislator, Oklahoma's first Muslim legislature.
Yes.
And the first black person to represent the state's 88th district.
Love it so much.
Which is great. Cori Bush, as we all know, we've talked about her on here before. She's a Black Lives Matter activist, first black woman to win a House seat in the state of Missouri. She defeated a longtime incumbent back, during the primaries, which is just great. She's a single mom, an ordained pastor, and a nurse. She also had COVID earlier this year, and she, you know, ran a progressive platform. So she's great. I've heard her in interviews.
Yep.
Let's see. Two Indian American women will be the first South Asians to represent the lower house of New York State's legislature. Zoran Madani and Jennifer Rakumar. So that's really exciting. You know, for all of the kind of bigger Senate losses and whatnot, and of course Kamala Harris, but for all the bigger like Senate losses and whatnot, like it's really great to see that there's hope, because at the lower levels, people are showing up and people are into the progressive policies and they're into accepting, you know, a broader community or coalition of people who will represent them. And I think that's very hopeful for the future. And I hope that I'm not just being a Pollyanna that is really, really, really high off of election day reaction videos on Twitter, but like,
No, I don't think you are, because I think a lot of these near wins we shouldn't look at as 100% losses. We should look at them as near wins and an opportunity for 2024 and the years that follow. That, like, yes, things are going to move slower than we want them to. That's just how it is, unfortunately. But the fact that the needle will continue to move and there's a clear path for it is something that should give us hope, and we should rightly be excited about that.
One other thing to note, there was a 20-point swing from Trump to Biden amongst military veterans and families. I'm sorry, veterans and military families. And there was this was from yesterday, this information. 20 points.
I just think that, though, the moral of this story is if you shit on people, turns out they don't like that.
Yeah, maybe don't call them suckers and losers, and maybe, I don't know, visit them more than once ever.
Yep. Don't take a community for granted that they're always going to be there.
Yes. And, you know, I think all the military people, like, we are probably never going to agree with any of those people on policy, but they delivered. If this is true, if more military people did go for Biden than Trump, then kudos to those conservative military leaders. They did deliver for us. So. Mm-hmm. Very, very weird coalition of people this year. Whole other party. But anyway, oh, happy day. Oh, yeah. Happy day.
Didn't mean to watch that again.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Okay, so there's this awesome, everybody check out, there's this awesome parody of Sister Act 2. And it's just Stacey Abrams is Sister Mary Clarence. And then Georgia voters and mail-in ballots. Like, it's so wonderful. Perfect. It's so good. It's so good. I've watched like 100 times.
And like, I loved me every single iteration of those videos.
That one was my favorite by far.
Yeah.
Yes. So I love that so much. I loved all the Captain America, Avengers Endgame ones.
The Avengers was really good.
Yes. That was good too.
The Lord of the Rings one was very good.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
I think I sent it to you guys, and maybe the link got messed up because no one responded. So maybe
I didn't get that one. I didn't get that one. Great times. Okay. Anybody else have anything? Otherwise, we're going to play some Katy Perry off into the sunset while we take our commercial break. Katie, take us out. We are back, everybody, and we are ready to get into, we have Facey Buck, but actually, we have something really fun that we didn't get into before, a little quiz, if you will. Shandy, do you want to kick that off?
Dun-dun-dun! All right. This is still brought to you by Colleen, because she's the one who found it and suggested it and did the work. But I am happy to bring to you tonight. Everyone knows these Disney songs, but do you know their French names? A BuzzFeed quiz.
Woo. I know my limitations. I'm not going to try a French Disney name.
Can you identify the Disney song by its French name? So facing off tonight, we will have Colleen and Amanda.
I texted this to Shandy. I don't have it pulled up anywhere, so I am just as unadvantaged as you are, Amanda.
I will tell you.
I figured you're not someone that cheats. I don't worry about that.
No, I didn't request a couple of absentee ballots, though, for my grandpa and my dad's parents that died in the 80s. I did request that. Is that cheating? No? Okay, cool.
Well, it depends. Did you send them in?
It depends. Who did you vote for on them?
Yeah. I mean, requesting them is not breaking the law.
Yeah, who did you vote for? No, there was this dude actually in, I don't know, one of these states. I closed out the tab, but he actually was arrested for voter fraud for requesting an absentee ballot for his dead mom.
And which party was he affiliated with?
Republican.
One guess.
You guys can't see, but Shandy just threw her hands up in the air. Like she just don't care.
Just curious, you know. Curiouser and curiouser.
All right.
Okay, so what we will be doing with this quiz is I will be telling you the name of a song. I looked through all of these. I have not watched Disney in French. I know a lot of people who learn languages, that's a thing that they do. They go through this phase where they watch a bunch of Disney movies dubbed in the language they're studying. I did not go for that personally, so I cannot vouch for whether or not these are the actual names, but they're very like word for word translations.
Okay.
So that's my little clue to you, but it's only a clue if you
listen. Know some words. Read it to us like your French girls.
Exactly. So how this works is I will read you the title and then I will give you the four options that they
don't
have.
Give us the options at first. Let us guess at first and then give us the options if we need it.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
I'm feeling confident. It might be the tequila shot.
No, I like it.
I like the...
I didn't fill up the tequila all the way when I did the shot, so I've been slightly sipping on the rest of the bottle for the last... I've got some courage. I've got some confidence. Yeah, let's do this.
Okay, well, this very first one is kind of an anomaly. It doesn't actually have the four options. So I'm going to tell it to you and you're going to guess and then that's that. Okay. And then we'll move on. Then the rest of them are normal.
Okay.
So song number one, Part de ton monde.
What?
Part de ton monde.
Burn down the town. I don't know.
Disney songs.
It's a Disney song.
Ton monde is torture,
Do
right?
Do you know the word monde? Like Le Monde paper? It's a French
No,
paper.
That doesn't help.
It's a French news press. Not a press.
Tell us what movie comes from.
It is from a movie with Ariel.
Oh.
Okay. No,
Kiss
I'm
the
thinking.
Girl.
That's my thinking face. I was going to say Part of Your World, but I was
part
like,
of your
no,
world?
Don't just go with the most
like El
popular
Mundo.
Song.
El
but
Mundo.
That's what I'm like. Did they Google translate these? Because is it really called Part de ton monde and not like, I don't know, something more grammatically satisfying? I don't know. Okay. Song number two.
Okay. Just tell us the name. Let us call it out before our multiple choice.
All right.
This is going to go really
Je
great.
Je vois la lumière.
Lumière? So
something
it's from
Beauty and the Beast.
Be our guest?
Would you like your choices?
So clearly we're wrong. So guest?
Well, your first choice is Be Our Guest, followed by I See the Light.
I See the Light.
I See the Light. But I don't even know what that's from.
Yeah, me neither.
Is that from like, it's got to be from one of those like Frozen movies or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. It's certainly no Disney movie maybe. I've ever seen.
But you guys totally called it. They were with that Lumiere. They were.
It's a trick question.
Yeah.
Like stupid Americans. So they know because it's the name of a character.
Listen, Amanda, we should be really proud that like we understood that Lumiere and everything meant light. That we were there. Mm-hmm. We were there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Candlestick.
Yeah. We are a product of the pre. Back when America's actually put some money into their education for everybody and not just
and maybe they will again.
Oh my God.
We have an educator in the fucking
White House. Dr. Biden.
That's right. Hey, everybody, I'm going to finish this half a shot with guess what? Fucking Betsy DeVos isn't going to be there anymore.
Oh my God.
Hey! Cheers.
Okay, next one is Jusqu'où j'irai.
Is that Be Our Guest? I'm just keep guessing Be Our Guest.
Be Our Guest is not an option on your options board.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
What are the choices?
Choices are Beauty and the Beast, When Will My Life Begin, How Far I'll Go, Just Around the River Bend.
How Far I'll Go.
Yeah, Amanda got it.
Woohoo! Yes. Go, Amanda.
Next song, Je Ferai de Toi un Homme.
Huh?
Yeah.
Je ferai de toi un homme.
Okay, When Two Become One by the Spice Girls.
Something.
Sorry, that was a great guess.
Okay, what is it? Go ahead, what are our options?
Yeah, okay. Need an option.
Option one, I'll Make a Man Out of You. Option two, A Girl Worth Fighting For. Option three, Once Upon a Dream. Option four, Mother Knows Best.
Once Upon a Dream? Nope. I'll Make a Man Out of You.
I'll Make a Man Out of You. I will make a man.
That's what I was going to guess.
Okay. Next up.
We had some sound interference over on my end.
Okay.
I was silenced. Motor fraud.
She does not accept the results of this until all the votes are counted.
I contest the results. It wasn't fair to me.
Hey, PS. Yeah. Hey, PS, guys. Anybody out there that might be wondering if there was, in fact, voter ballot tampering, the dude in Pennsylvania, the postal worker, actually recanted, saying that the GOP offered him $130,000 to... recognize voter fraud, which is coincidentally, or maybe not, the same amount of money that they paid Stormy Daniels.
Well, at least they're consistent.
Mm-hmm. It's good living.
Can we just take a moment?
Fair across the board.
Are you telling me that the people who actually tampered with the elections are the Republican Party? Weird. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's how it would appear.
Yes. Yes, it would. Okay. Next one. Tense our French, okay. Baby. Let's go. Let's do this.
All right. Next one. Tout essayé.
Poopo on the potty.
Man, one of us is actually taking this seriously.
I am too. I only had...
Okay. Wait. Can I hear the title again?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Tout essayé.
I don't know why I asked. That doesn't help.
Would you like your options?
Yes, I would, please.
All right. Option number one. Circle of Life. Option number two, Let It Go. Option number three, A Friend Like Me. And option number four, Try Everything.
I want to say Let It Go.
I want to say Try Everything, but I know that's not right.
Colleen is correct with Try Everything, which is a song apparently from Zootopia.
I love Zootopia. It's a great movie.
It's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
Deep.
It's really great. It's really great. And I appreciate all the memes over the past week that pointed out that the sloths in Zootopia were Nevada counting. Because they really were.
For real, though.
I think my favorite was like, hey, Nevada's like 50th in education. They don't know how to count.
I know the guy from Nevada, I felt really bad though, because he kept coming out and he'd be like, look, like, leave us the fuck alone.
Nothing. You took Thursday off.
Yeah, they did. And then the funny thing was like,
you count them on Thursday.
I know, right? That was fucking crazy. And he was just like,
you have clerical work to do. I'm sorry, no, you don't.
He was like, I will be back at 10 a.m. tomorrow. And the rest of the world was like, what kind of job can we get where we get to go into work at 10 a.m.?
Yeah, for real. I mean, did we ever figure out what was the holdup in Nevada? Frank was like, why are these people not working night and day?
No, you know why? Because
it's still a mystery.
After they called it, nobody gave a shit.
Like, well, now we can just take our time. Let's just be thorough with it, guys.
Pretty much. Anyway, okay, sorry. Yes, next one.
All right, next one up. Laissez aller.
A Friend Like Me?
Circle of Life.
Yeah, that.
Laissez aller.
You could say it a million times and it
just
won't
just give us
me
the choices.
The same word as the first word in the expression, which I believe in English is pronounced laissez-faire.
No, that doesn't help. I need some.
Not help me.
Yeah, I need options.
Okay, option number one, Beauty and the Beast. Nope. Speechless. Let It Go.
Let It Go. Let it go. Let It Go. Let It Go.
Let It Go.
Yes.
I knew it was going to be on there at some point.
Yes.
The laissez-faire thing really, I mean, you know, I took social studies in third grade. I got that.
Because you just like let them do.
Yeah, let them do. What could go wrong?
everything.
All right, next up. L'amour est une porte ouverte.
Give us the choices.
Love is an open door.
Love's an open door. That's it. It's that. It's that.
Love is an open door.
Yeah. L'amour. Okay. C'est une porte ouverte, which is from Frozen.
Yes.
All right.
We completely next our sandwiches.
Next up, we have Soyez Prêt.
Sweaty pig?
Sold.
Soyez Prêt. All right. Our options are show yourself, fixer upper, be prepared, colors of the wind.
I want it to be prepared, but I don't think it's
only
that.
Two of those are actual Disney songs.
Well, you are correct. It is Be Prepared.
Yes!
Yeah. Literally, be ready.
Guys.
Be ready!
Isn't Be Prepared one of the best Disney villain songs, though?
It's great.
It's really great.
Not as good as Ursula's.
No, I was going to say Ursula's is the best Disney villain song.
Hers is good, too.
Yeah.
Hers is good. All right. We have reached the end.
Okay.
Okay.
And this, we finish as we began without any extra choices.
Oh, no.
So I'm just going to give it to you and you're going to tell me what it is.
We got this, Amanda.
I don't know about that.
Couleur du vent. Couleur. Les couleurs.
Colors of the wind.
Yeah! Yes! Go, Amanda! I had no fucking idea! Woo!
Two words in French that are similar to English.
Yes!
There aren't very many of them.
Yes!
60% of the vocabulary overlaps. We're good. That's what's great about French.
Super awesome. High five, everybody. Good job, Amanda. I think you're going to win.
Were we actually keeping score?
No.
No.
We definitely weren't.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Let's get into some facey back. Facey back. Randy says, I'm behind in my podcast listening and just now listened to the episode where you mentioned the Jersey Devil. That would be our Halloween episode. Bruce Springsteen has an obscure song that tells the story of the Jersey Devil titled A Night with the Jersey Devil. Brian actually points out something that I will forever and ever and ever and ever and ever lament that I regret not thinking of last week. And I'm just going to pawn it off to being emotional. Can't believe you didn't go with Medium Roar. Yeah, why didn't we go with that?
I don't know.
I'm going to go back and change that because that was pretty fucking awesome. Medium Roar was actually genius.
It's pretty genius.
Really good.
That's why we love Brian.
Gosh. Mandy said, from the year brought to you 6 months of April, welcome to Tuesday Part 3. I believe this was actually, this tweet that she quoted was from Tuesday Part 3, and I believe we got to Tuesday Part 5 by the end of that.
Yes, we did. I think so.
All right, now it's time for Matt's What She Said.
Sign me up for 4 more.
I grabbed it because my phone had low battery.
I don't want your trickle.
Ugh,
I know. It's gross. It's always. No. I mean. All right, let's keep going.
We're really not going to get anything more said at the end of a trickle.
Yeah, right. Those are very polar opposite, those. It had not moved in the way I hoped it would move.
Gabby came and she cuddled.
That's good.
It's my cat. I was pulling for you guys.
We have been doing this for 51 minutes.
I sent you guys pictures of it before.
It's been growing.
All right, everyone. Thank you, Matt. It's time for Buttersh emails. The first email is from Jessica.
All right. And it is titled Something to Watch. Good day, ladies. I'm currently watching an hour-long documentary on PBS, woot woot, about some of the recent feminist stories of the last few years after Hillary's run, the arresting of Weinstein, etc. It's called Not Done, Women Remaking America. It's really good. I think you would all enjoy it. And she gives us a link to watch the show. Watching this after we have our first woman VP makes it even better. Jessica.
Oh, thanks for the recommendation.
Indeed.
Yes, I'm going to watch this. And I can't believe we didn't really fully talk about the fact that, like, we have our first woman vice president. Like, yeah,
we do.
And that's been something I've been thinking about a lot, like, over the last week, just as you do when things happen, is, like, it's one thing to be like, yeah, you can be anything in America, but it's another thing to see somebody that looks mm-hmm. like you do something, or see a, another woman do something and be like, yeah, I can do this too. She did it. Why can't I? And that's,
right.
I don't know, there's very, something very special in that. And
right. Because it went yeah. from being theoretical, I can do that, to no, I can do that because look, someone else did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're so late to the party on this in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just such a relief that it's finally happened. And it was a weird thing. Like, I think that in a normal year, we would have really marked the occasion more. And maybe on, like, inauguration, maybe. I mean, I think her speech was wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her white pantsuit was symbolic and great. And so it was very special, but I think it was also a little bit over, there was just, you know, the whole, anxiety about the election in general, that it was like, we have to win, not just because you would be awesome and you're a woman, but also because, if, you know, if we don't win, then, like, it's basically goodbye America. So there was that going on that I think everyone was so relieved that
no
it wasn't
pressure.
Goodbye America, but it was like, oh yeah, and we get to celebrate this really awesome thing that happened.
Yeah. Thank you, Jessica. I'm going to check that out, actually. I just, you know, I'm going to save this in my browser and check it out. So thank yes. you.
And if I can piggyback on that, while you're on the PBS site, there's also a two-part documentary. I believe it's POV, and it's She Could Be Next. And okay. it follows a bunch of women, mostly women of color, involved in various areas of politics, running for elected office for the midterm election, I believe. So, like, Rashida Tlaib is featured, and actually a bunch of women that I think actually entered Congress on this cycle. So it's like watching it in hindsight. There's a lot of familiar faces, and it's very good. It's very long, but it's very good.
That's awesome.
All right, so we're gonna finish the feedback section up with an Andy update.
All right, so Andy writes in this week in Andy's social distancing. Hey broads, hey, did anyone notice that since about midday Saturday the sun has shone brighter and candy has tasted sweeter? Wonder oh, why.
Possibly noticed.
Of course I'm happy Trump lost. Although I wish we could just skip ahead 10 weeks from now when he gets the boot for good, since nothing in this process is going to be easy. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, I haven't heard of a lot of violence from sore loser MAGAs, who may be doubly frustrated since they're about a third of the way through No Nut November. If one of you hasn't heard about this and will therefore be tainted by the definition a la Cook. But we know that even if Trump just vanished, the toxic culture he cultivated isn't going to disappear, and we'll need to keep fighting for the things we believe in, even when the progress can be infuriatingly slow and the odds against us overwhelming. And on that note, an update on my personal life. The other night, I was hanging out with some friends online, both to check in to see how we were doing after a crazy week and have a little fun. One of the guests happened to be Alice. Friend.
Oh, Alice.
Oh, yeah.
Alice. Yes. To be honest, it did sting a little. Now, I want to be clear, Alice has grown up and can make her own choices and had no obligations to me, nor was I entitled to anything of hers whatsoever. We haven't kept in contact since early on in the pandemic, but I still had feelings. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm trying to get at is that even though I'm in my 30s, being attracted to someone who doesn't feel the same still sucks, especially when it feels like it's always been that way. Also, I felt the usual feelings of regret, wondering if I should have been more assertive way back when. Then comes the loneliness of being single in a pandemic, where the chances of meeting someone are much more unlikely and will probably stay that way for another year or more. While I think I fared pretty well overall during this ordeal, I still miss the kind of interactions we had before and the possibilities I had. Now, while we can't control how we feel, we can choose how to act on those feelings. And I think I handled it well. I wasn't an asshole about it and had a nice evening with some friends. I think if you didn't know my feelings, you'd have no idea. Her boyfriend seems like a decent guy and she's comfortable around him. While I kind of wish it were me, I'm happy she's with someone who makes her happy. Not to mention I haven't talked to her in months. So if I did raise a stink about it, there'd be no need for me to make an...
Am I that asshole? Yeah. AITA is Am I That Asshole? It's a glorious, ridiculous site. I actually almost had one of those to share tonight. Crazy. Anyway, yeah. Keep going.
So no need to make one of those posts because I would definitely be the asshole in that scenario. Not always getting what you want is just a fact of life, but sometimes not getting what you want at one moment can lead to you getting something or someone even better later. As always, there are other women out there, and who knows where the future will take me. Not that I've had the luck I may have teased last week. A few weeks ago, I got a like from a woman, and I thought, why not? It seemed like there was a potential match. She came off as smart and was respectful of my precautions that I'm taking trying to date in the COVID world. And then she disappeared for the week, came back briefly to chat on the weekend, then disappeared again over a week ago, and I haven't heard from her since. I got the impression maybe she's overwhelmed by work, but who knows for sure. I also got another match, but due to how that website works, I can't initiate the chat. The person who liked first can do that.
Without
paying a subscription, and I'm not paying again. So it looks like it's more strikeouts on that front. Well, I guess my lack of luck in love may count as a taste of normalcy. And looking back on the last week, one thing is clear. I certainly face rejection better than the president. Hashtag from hers, Auntie.
That you do. That is a truth.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yep. And yeah, who knows when Wonder closes and all of that. But it's, I know it's like cliche, but it's also true.
Yeah.
No, it is. It is.
Well, thank you, Andy, for the update. We appreciate it. And, you know, sorry about the whole thing with Alice. It sucks. It sucks. That's how it goes sometimes. But it sucks. It doesn't make it any less easier. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like you handled it well.
Yes.
Yes. Which is definitely something to hang your hat on.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So last week we were talking about quarantine linings. And mm-hmm. as I was editing, I actually thought of some quarant linings that I can't believe I did not think of at the time. One Ooh. Of them was the fact that I literally wear the same clothes for days. And
Yeah, that's real.
Nobody cares or notices. It's great.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, it's more efficient.
Yeah. Because the show, literally, nobody gives a shit what you're wearing.
Totally. You're not really, like, moving around. You're not, like, outside. You're not, like, on the sweaty subway. So, like, they're not getting gross. So,
yeah,
you're not going to put them back in the drawer. Like, wear them another day or two until they're really, they need to be washed.
Yep. It's definitely.
It's more efficient.
Definitely a core lining.
And most of the pants options, at least for me, consist of sweatpants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, great. Same here.
This weekend was the most consecutive days I've worn button fly pants in a while. I forgot how uncomfortable it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not great.
Then the other one was I've got a lot of gray hair now. Like all of a sudden they've popped up since the quarantine. Mm-hmm. And it's really great that I can pull them back so that people can't see them or, you know, just go gray naturally, gracefully without, you know, anybody watching. So I feel like the gray hair situation during the pandemic, which might have been caused by the pandemic, but also like here we are.
Who's to say?
So yeah, those are my actual real quarant linings from last week.
Those are good.
Yeah, thanks. I also have an Alex update. I've been telling you guys the stories of Alex and crazy Alex with the Alex being Alex, and over the last week, as you guys have known, he took the books all out of his bookshelf and put them all over the floor. Which, you know, was a thing. And I was like, okay, you know, it's pretty annoying, but whatever, we cleaned up. We then later found that in his toy chest, he had three water bottles that he had requested overnight that we thought he was drinking that he had not drank. He had actually poured into the toy chest. Three water bottles. Yeah, that was a thing that happened.
Oh, no. Damage?
To be determined, we dumped everything out in the toy chest. I'm sorry. We dumped everything from the toy chest out into the bathtub. And it's, you know, drying out. But yeah, that was a thing that was not great. And then, you know, we've had a couple of other things that have happened on and off. Oh, yes. He also decided that he was going to pee on his floor several days in a row. So then we moved the little potty in there for him in the morning. And then we had yesterday morning. And yesterday morning, Jay goes into the room and he is like, Alex has a... So Zachary had actually gone in earlier and he was like, Alex has a poster tube over his hand. Trying to tell him we're in trouble. And we were like, okay, and whatever. So we kind of ignored it. And then, you know, Jay goes in there a few minutes later, notices that, like, the poster tube has brown all over it. He's looking, and he, you know, turns on the light in Alex's room and realizes that there's blood all over the walls, over the floor. So, oh, and it's all over the lid of the potty. It's covered in blood. And then he notices that there's broken glass everywhere on the floor. I hear Jay go, is that broken glass? And I jolt out of bed and I'm like, what is going on? And turns out, so we had actually, Kayla had sent us, and it's not Kayla's fault, so please don't think that. She had sent us this awesome thing with the kids' names that was like Star Wars, and I had actually framed them both. And we put Zachary's up on his wall, but we never put Alex's up. And I always thought because it was laying flat that like he wouldn't notice, he wouldn't care, whatever. Well, there was something else on Alex's dresser that he wanted to get to, so he pulled it down and he pulled this with the frame with it. And... Oh, no, because that's also what I thought. I was like, oh, my God, this could have killed you. Like, it could have hit you in, like, an artery or whatever. Or, like, who knows? Clean everything up. So the best thing about this is Alex has a finger that is bleeding out, another finger that just has light blood, and then he's got this cut on his cheek. And we're like, oh, my God. And then we piece it together, and he actually, you know, made pee-pee on the potty. And then pulled this stuff down and then decided to pick up the pieces of glass and put them inside the potty. Along with, he also pulled down a piggy bank. He put coins in the potty and a random screw. So, like, the whole potty is covered with just, like, a handprints of blood. So, we were like, oh, my God. So, like, Jay takes Alex aside and, like, cleans off that. I have to put on rubber gloves, like, disposable rubber gloves, to pull all of the glass, all of the coins, everything out of the potty that has pee in it. Pee in it. Like, lay it out. So that way, throw it/lay it out to, like, then be able to put in the potty to flush and then, like, you know, the toilet flush and, like, clean it all out.
Oh, my gosh. And, Alex.
And, like, given the fact that, like, the only reason the potty was in there in the first place was because he was peeing all over everything, Jake looks at me and he was like, we keep adapting and he just keeps escalating it.
It's like, oh, this is fun.
Yes, that is exactly it. He was like, yeah, okay, this will do. So, I don't know.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it was a week. It was a week. I don't know. He's my crazy kid. Yeah.
Good times.
So.
Oh. Alex.
So when he himself with the glass, he didn't even scream.
Nope. We watched the video.
That's kind of amazing. Wow.
No, and that's the scary thing, though. We watched the video. He literally walked over to his bed, holding his hand like this, with blood dripping off it. Did not give a shit. Did not care.
Wow.
Found the poster board, then put his hand in the poster board. Zachary actually.
Well, at least he knew what to do. He's like, okay, I gotta, like, cover it up.
Yeah.
Triage the wound.
I don't know if he was thinking triage versus cover it up. The difference. All right. On that note, everybody, we won.
We won.
Back to battles we have won.
Battles we won. We are totaling in a play FDT, hashtag fuck Donald Trump, on the way out of this episode. So enjoy that. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to the patrons, especially the ones who contribute a certain level, and that would be Tech, formerly from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Greg the Gray, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to be on Patreon, go to patreon.com/jandjack. You can go to jandjack.com or click on the Become a Patron link at the top right-hand corner of the page. If you would like to give us some feedback, we would love to hear your feedback. Thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. We will be back for hopefully final broad topics on Monday, November 16th, the same Zoom link that we always use, but it will be posted in all the usual places. You can also send us an email at thebroadcasters3@gmail.com if you would like to join us and join us for that, because I think it's going to be hopefully a good one. But join us for that. If you can't do that, join us on November 24th for broadcast number 200. That will also be a very exciting thing. Yeah. We got a lot to celebrate over this month. So
we do.
Yeah. Does anybody have anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, on that note, everybody, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody. And remember, no matter what.
Fuck Donald Trump. Fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, nigga, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, nigga, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah.